You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Series 2, Episode 28 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. It's a goalkeeper special tonight. We had our Dundalk FC Champions Against special last week, and myself and John want to say a huge thank you to everyone that tuned in, one of our highest listenerships of the season, and we're going to thank all you Dundalk folk that helped us out by sharing that show around social media last week. We have another competition on tonight's show in association with Coffee Time in Dundalk Town. We'll bring you a little bit more information on that later in the show, but John, welcome. Big show ahead tonight. Three massive guests. And we're going to start, I never thought we'd ever start with this, but we're going to start with the Iron Brew Cup, because this had quite a bit of significance, the results in these two games.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Shane Supple later, but we've also got two other goalkeepers on tonight. It's Jay Doherty's testimonial year.
Yeah.
And we'll be speaking to him, and we'll also be speaking to
Kieran Gallagher from Finn Harps, obviously the playoffs.
Yeah.
The second leg between Finn Harps and Drogheda takes place on Friday night. So we've had Kieran on to tell us about that, as we had Tim on last week. So we're continuing our top class playoff coverage here on Between the Stripes.
So Kieran, the Iron Brew Cup.
Do you like Iron Brew?
I don't mind Iron Brew at all.
Nice,
yeah. I don't like the diet stuff. That's crap.
No, but, rubbish.
Yeah, Iron Brew, it's nice. Yeah. I worked quite a bit up in Scotland, so I got a taste for it.
As well as
the whiskey.
Yeah, and the haggis as well.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're going to kick off with a very, very disappointing result for Sligo, going down 2-0 to Motherwell's under 20 side.
Yeah.
That was probably the final nail in the coffin for Ger Little, Kieran.
Yeah, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination this result had anything to do with Ger Little, his contract not being renewed for next season. I definitely think, though, this result accelerated that process. I think had they seen through this round, they probably would have kept Ger on until the end of the season and then said their goodbyes. But he's gone now, and they've decided to put an interim manager in charge for the remaining league games. I know Sligo's travel preparation was disrupted by this. Their first flight was cancelled. I think they were delayed by 18 hours in total. So obviously that was off-putting for the players. But they are full-time professional footballers. They should be beating an under-20 side.
They should be beating them hands down, Kieran. Yeah. I was very, very disappointed, like I said, with that result. And no surprise Little went after that. Probably, like you say, accelerated his exit.
Yeah, we'll speak a little bit more about Ger Little's departure and who might replace him at Sligo later on in the show. Obviously, we'll be talking about Owen Heary's big departure from Shelburne, and we have a bit of talk to have about the Pats job as well, John. So let's move on to the next game in the Iron Brew Cup. It was a win on penalties for Bohemians.
Yeah, well, this was, it's not too exciting, the match. I didn't have too much match reports from the 0-0 and extra time, but all the excitement was around Shane Supple. So, penalty situation, he saves one, and then he gets up, scores one, and then saves another one to put them through.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We've seen a lot of talk recently about goalkeepers taking penalties after Brendan Clark did it for St. Pat's down in Sligo. So maybe Supple's taking a leaf out of his books, but it was certainly the feel-good story of the week, I think, from this competition. And I've seen Iron Brew, they had their every round, they have a player of the round and they do the voting online. Shane Supple wasn't included. I was shocked.
Outrageous, Kieran.
Yeah, we'll have to boycott the Iron Brew sales, John. But, look, we're going to speak to that man now. He's obviously had Ireland call-ups in the past as well, John. So we're going to have a little discussion on tonight's show about the situation after last night's result in the Aviva. We might just ask Shane for his thoughts on that, if he'd be good enough to give us his opinion. But let's hear from that man now, Shane Supple, after he sent balls through to the next round of the Iron Brew Cup. So the Iron Brew Cup took centre stage this week, and Shane Supple was the hero, and he joins us on the line now. Shane, welcome to the show.
Hey lads, thanks for having me.
Shane, are you a little bit disappointed Iron Brew put up the poll that they put up every round looking for the player of the round, and you weren't even an option?
Was I not? I didn't even know that.
No, a lot of angry Bulls fans tweeting in.
Is there, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit unusual, a keeper, you know, scoring a penalty and a penalty shoot and saving two and maybe not getting nominated for it, but I'm sure there's a few other lads and the other teams in the competition that probably pulled off a few miracles the weekend as well, so I wouldn't be too worried.
So was this penalty, was it planned or was it heat at the moment stuff? Had you intended to step up and take one?
I'd always intended if it did come to it, like, you know, I don't think we had a set roster who was taking, you know, the penalties after the game had finished, but the manager was asking who would want to take one, and I put my name forward. I don't think he was listening to me initially, so I had to try to convince him a little bit more that I wanted to take one. So, and after a few, you know, gestures towards him, he finally put me down as the fifth penalty taker. So, I was hoping I wouldn't get that far, but as well, but, no, happy enough the way it panned out.
I have to say, the Iron Brew Cup, it's a competition some League of Ireland fans can't get their head around. They seem to ridicule it a little bit. Myself and John, we've discussed it on the show here. We're loving it. We think it's a fantastic, fresh, new format, seeing all these teams from different leagues taking on each other. How have you found playing it? Do you think it's a worthwhile competition?
It's hard to know. I think initially it was a bit of a distraction that we didn't need. The time of season, the first round came around, so initially, you know, we weren't too pushed, to be honest about it, but the timing of the second round, I suppose, after the defeat to Cork on the Monday night, the way the game finished on Saturday against Sutton, it was a nice way to finish the week, and now we're into the quarterfinals, and you know, at the end of our season, and with a chance to progress further in it, we are taking it very seriously now, and we want to try, you know, go as far as we can in it, but initially, to be honest, I wasn't too sure, I wasn't too pushed about it. We had other distractions, as I said, the FAI Cup was the main one, and myself and the majority of lads were focused on that as our main aim, really. But it's turned out well in the end for us.
It's East Fife in the quarterfinals. Have the club discussed the situation with you regarding, obviously, that fixture is scheduled to come after the League of Ireland season ends? I know there's talk of the club trying to get that game brought forward. Has that been discussed with the players?
No, that's all we're aware of, I suppose, as much as you guys are, that they are trying to get it moved forward. We were told that if one of the clubs from the League of Ireland progressed further in the competition, the SFA would take a sympathetic view to that, because of obviously our season coming to an end and lads being out of contract. So I think it's between the SFA and the FAI, and I suppose East Fife as well, to see how accommodating they can be to us in that regard. So I think that they are hoping for it within a week of the season finishing that we can play East Fife. So I'm not sure. I suppose sooner or later we need to know. I'd say tomorrow we'll find out what the story is on that front.
Yeah, we hope it can be fixed, because I certainly think Bows have a great chance of progressing and even winning the competition. As it's obviously it's something you've discussed.
Yeah, I think so. You're looking at the teams in the competition. It's hard to judge. You're not really aware of how strong teams are in the Scottish League. Obviously, the lads beat Peterhead. We play a team from the Conference in England the last round. So East Fife are a different opposition altogether again. So we're not quite sure. I think Ross County look like the strongest team left in it. So it would be nice. Yeah, it'd be nice to get to a final. Of course, it is. It's always nice to get to a final, and in a competition like that, the hybrid competition that is, it probably suits Bowes more than your club to be in a competition like that. And our fans are definitely enjoying it. And the weekend was a great end, finishing on penalties and getting through.
Yeah, you mentioned the fans there. I think they've received a lot of acclaim this season, the Bowes fans. They've turned out in big numbers, and the atmosphere at Dalymount Park has been superb this season. But obviously there was the slow start to the season. Was that disappointing? Because I think there's maybe a little bit of a feeling that it could have been even better only for that slow start.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking back now in hindsight, obviously at the time as well, they worried about, you know, where we're going, because we were playing well, we felt, in most of those games, and getting beat 1-0. And I think there was a period there in the first five or six games, we played three games in a row, we lost 1-0, we missed a penalty in two of those games as well. So you're looking at that, and, you know, could we have caught Waterford or Shamrock Rovers? You know, so it's definitely something we want to, you know, improve on next season on that. And I think just the turnover of players in the last number of years, every season you're starting to question, trying to integrate lads into the way we go about our business and that. And Trevor and Keith, obviously, in training, they're getting used to the way we operate. So it was difficult, but obviously the second half of the season, I think the games, I mentioned it before, you know, the load at the front end of the season was very tough on all teams, not just us. So that's something that, you know, I think hopefully the league are looking at for next year, that doesn't happen, because, you know, it doesn't help teams when you're playing three games in a week in recovery and planning and everything like that. So that was also a factor, I think, in our poor start to the season.
Yeah, and I imagine that probably hit balls a little bit harder with the fact that you're part-time.
Yeah, you can say that, I suppose. But we train just as much, I think, as most of the other teams in the league, albeit maybe at an evening time. And lads are working. So, again, you're looking at recovery and, you know, our lads eating right during the day and fueling right, hydrating properly. So it is a factor, definitely. And with the rest of the teams, I suppose, being full-time in the league, apart from probably Bray. But it isn't as, I suppose, easy for us to recover and prepare when, like I said, you're playing Friday, Monday, Friday, you know.
And difficult to keep both squad together, you know, when it is a part-time situation. And I'm thinking of the likes of Daniel Kelly, who's received rave reviews this late part of the season. You know, the vultures are going to be swooping round.
Yeah, they are. And that's, I suppose, the nature of the club we're at. You know, because of our resources and budgets and stuff like that, that clubs are going to look at, you know, and who they can take to make their team stronger. And, you know, we give young lads a chance that they probably wouldn't get at other clubs. And you're looking at the likes of Darryl Leahy and obviously Daniel Kelly, who's coming this year, JJ Lunny, and these kind of lads who've really kicked on. And if, you know, that's what happens, I suppose. We haven't had won any trophies, but I think we've had success in that sense, and, you know, getting young lads through, getting them 20, 30 games under their belt, and they've shown that they can do it at this level. So, you know, the other clubs, whether they're in the League of Ireland or abroad, are going to be looking at them. So it's just it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So we have to try and look at other ways of holding on to them if we can. And one way is obviously the, you know, the feel and the atmosphere around the club and in the dressing room at the moment, and hopefully lads see that they've benefited from.
Yeah, it must be fantastic.
You know, Keith and Trevor. So.
Yeah, fantastic atmosphere, I'd say, in the dressing room at the moment. The way Bose are playing, so hopefully that'll help keep the squad together. But I wanted to ask you about your experience in England, Shane. You were at Ipswich for a while there.
Yeah, 7 years over there in the end. I went across at 15 and retired at 22, and a lot of good memories of my time over there. And, you know, it was a great club to be at as a kid, to develop as well. They had a great reputation of bringing young lads through into the first team, and that was one of the reasons why I chose there. So I have very fond memories there, and, you know, will always be grateful to Ipswich. But obviously I retired from the game and decided to come home at 22. So and ultimately ended up back playing again. But, you know, I said the great times over there, and I really love the club.
And I know you've spoken elsewhere, Shane, about retirement at such a young age. Just for our listeners maybe that wouldn't be familiar, can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Yeah, I just got kind of a bit disillusioned with the whole game and the whole lifestyle and over there, the attitudes towards the game. You know, I came from obviously Dublin and would have played a lot of GAA and been in a lot of good teams that would we play for each other and play for the crest and stuff like that. And I just didn't feel I was getting the same buzz, the same commitment from other players in the dressing room and even coaches and management over there. You know, that you could feel you could really trust them and that they supported you and had your back. And I didn't like those attitudes towards the game. And, you know, lads didn't really care. And on a Saturday, whether we won or lost, it was the same difference to them, really. And they were still getting paid at the end of the day. So I just become disillusioned with it. Probably a little bit of naivety in my front going over there, thinking everyone was thinking the same as I did, that we were all in it together and fighting to, you know, get the 3 points on a Saturday. And ultimately, I made my decision at 22 to come home rather than stick around over there. And I'm delighted that I did. I've no regrets, as I said before, on that. And, you know, went back by GAA and ultimately ended up back playing with Bowes, which, you know, has worked out great as well.
And how did that come about, Shane, the move back to Bowes?
I played with Crumlin United. I helped Martin Lockham as manager there. He asked me to step in for one of the games because their keeper wasn't around, and I reluctantly stepped in and actually enjoyed it. He asked me would I stay on till the Christmas time. This was around October. I said I would. He was good enough, I suppose, at the time to give me his facility out there in Crumlin to coach the goalkeepers and, you know, run my goalkeeping academy out there. So I felt a little bit like obliged to help him out at the time, but I really enjoyed it and decided to stay on then after beyond the Christmas time and do both the Gaelic and the soccer. And then you know, some clubs from the League of Ireland were knocking on my door and to see whether I'd be interested in coming back playing in the summertime there, halfway through the season. So Keith was on to me for a number of months before that, and I just liked what he was saying about the club and the way he did things, and decided to go to Bowes as well, because they would let me play the GA at the same time. But that was a big plus, you know, from me going there, obviously, as well as Keith and what he was saying about the club. So, you know, and it's worked out great. I have no regrets either about doing that, and the Bowes was definitely the right club for me.
And Crumlin seems to be a club that produces a lot of League of Ireland players, and there's been a lot of examples like yourself of players that have played professional or played in the league and then gone to Crumlin and come back again. So what is it about that club in particular that seems to give players their enthusiasm, I suppose, for the game back again?
I suppose Martin Loughran's been around that club for years and years, and the way he runs the ship, and, you know, I think they've kept a good squad there down through the years. They've won a lot of intermediate cups and been very successful, which helps, you know, lads going back in and they're getting, you know, winning trophies at the end of the year, you know, helps their enthusiasm, I suppose, for the game, and maybe they get a bit of a, you know, joy or love back for the game again, and obviously they progress on. But I don't think people give the amateur leagues, the Leinster Senior League in particular, the respect probably that it deserves. And I think there is a model there that we could look at, you know, in bridging the gap from 19s to first team football in the League of Ireland, where we could utilise the League of Ireland, the Leinster Senior League clubs a bit more, and getting lads game times at a men's level, you know, and that really helps, I think, because a lot of the boys that come back from the UK have only played maybe up to 23s and haven't experienced men's football, and you get that in abundance when you're playing Leinster Senior League and you're getting, you know, a few kicks here and there, and you know, the results matter on a Saturday afternoon. So I think there's an area there where the Leinster Senior League can contribute as well to the development of Irish players.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Shane. I think you just have to look at a player like Richie Towell with Bluebell. It didn't seem to do him any harm. So maybe that's something that we can speak about in the future. I never thought I'd find myself asking a GAA question on this show, but do you ever regret the decision maybe not to stick with the Dubs given the huge success they've had over the last couple of years?
No, absolutely not, because I was never going to play, you know, and it wouldn't mean anything to me if I wasn't playing, if I wasn't, didn't feel I was contributing to the cause, you know, and obviously I went in 2013 there, and it was an enjoyable year in one sense, but also I didn't play much, so ultimately I want to play as much as I can, and, you know, I've got a lot of fond memories from being in there, and I keep a track of all the results in the games on a regular basis. So, no, definitely not, because as I said, I wouldn't have played, so I wouldn't have, you know, the medals wouldn't mean that to me now. Stephen's been there for the forever, so, and it looks like he's going to stay there forever. But I've no regrets, no. It's great that they're doing so well, but probably not great for Gaelic football.
Probably my first and last ever GAA-related question, I think, on this show. Shane, before you go, it's quite an incredible story when you think about retiring at the age of 22, as you say, from the professional game, going and playing Leinster Senior League, playing GAA, and then to get an Ireland call-up. What was that like as an experience?
Yeah, it was nice. It was a surprise. As I said before, and going back into the camp, it was a bit surreal, you know, at the age I was at, and thinking that this is all I dreamed of when I was a younger kid. But it was good going back in and seeing a lot of guys that I hadn't seen in probably 10 years, you know, from my time in the UK and coming through the international underage ranks with some of the guys. So it was nice to see them and to see the whole setup. And obviously the trip I was on, we got to go to, you know, France and play against the world champions, although they weren't the world champions at the time, but they looked definitely like they could do it in the Stade de France. So it was a great experience. And obviously for the League of Ireland as well, and myself and Graham Burke were in the camp at that time, so it was great for the league and for Bohemians to have, you know, a player called into the squad.
Shane, we've kept you way longer than we promised. We have to thank you for our time. Great conversation there, and we could certainly keep you for another 15 minutes, but I'm sure you have much better things to do. So thanks for joining us on the show, and best wishes with the rest of the Iron Brew Cup run. We'd love to see an Irish team lift that trophy at the end of, well, next year, but fantastic stuff. Shane, thanks very much.
All right, lads, no worries. Thanks very much.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to hear from Shane Supplin. Thanks for coming on the show there, Shane. John, big news. Owen Heary contract not going to be extended at Shelburne.
Yeah, the axe is coming down on a few managers, isn't it, at the moment? And this one for me was probably a bigger surprise than the other managerial casualties, but not for you.
No, wasn't surprised. I felt with the investment towards the end of the season when we seen Paddy Kavanagh, Karen Moore and Greg Morehouse, those three players in particular, when we seen them arriving at Shelburne, I think it was a big statement of intent from the board to Owen that we've backed you, so you have to go and deliver the goods now. Very unfortunate the way they went out of the playoffs, but unfortunately that is the nature of the beast in the playoffs, and he has paid with his job.
I think it's been pretty soon, too soon, Kieran. Because I mean, let's face it, no manager can vouch for your team going down to nine men in the first half of a playoff match.
I think there's been I remember speaking to you about a result recently when they let the lead slip against Athlone, mm-hmm. and that there was a lot of negative comment on their social media platforms about Owen Heary's style of football. And from speaking to Shell's fans in the last couple of days, that's what they've mentioned. They feel Owen was too set up defensively, and naturally that's understandable. He was one of the best defenders in the League of Ireland ever,
yep.
So you can understand that, but when you have players of those attributes up front, you need to make more of them, and Shell's fans feel he failed to do that. So I think we're going to see probably a more attacking minded manager coming in there next season.
So where do they go from here then, Kieran? Have you any idea who they might look to appoint?
No idea.
No, I was trying to think before the match who would be, because I mean let's look at, you know, they've got, it's not going to be easy next season, but they've got a good squad in place.
Are they going to be able to keep those three players I mentioned?
Well, the three that they brought in.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think that they would be looking for that, but those players may have signed on a basis
short-term
that we're
basis.
Going to get promoted this season, and we'll be back playing top level football next season. So I'm not so sure, but I think we're just going to keep our eyes on that one, because
you have older players in that squad. They're a year older next season, so are you going to get as much out of them?
But do you know they've a lot of firepower in that squad as well? You look at how well James English played early on.
He
the season
he might be one on other clubs' radars now though.
Yeah, Davy O'Sullivan, I think Davy will still be there next season. I can't see him leaving anywhere else.
Goals dried up dramatically towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but he was still the league top scorer, Kieran. So it's difficult to know who goes in there, really.
It is difficult. I'm sure Shells, if they've made such a dramatic decision, I'm sure they have somebody in mind, whether they can get that candidate or not. Maybe they're just going to open up the application process. I mean, Tim Clancy is a perfect example of what you can get by taking a risk and getting an ambitious young manager in. Neil Fenn, likewise. So, interesting times for Shells.
It just wouldn't surprise me, with a bit of money they've got, new owners, that they might go abroad for another manager and bring in maybe an English manager or somebody from the Scottish
league. It's a very, very difficult league to get out of. I think you need to have someone that understands the league. But then again, Clancy was a Premier Division footballer for most of his time. Fenn knew very little about the First Division. So
two words, Roddy and Collins.
No, John, be serious.
I am being serious. He's proven in that league. He's No.
It has to be a wind-up.
No, it's not. No, he's got teams promoted out of that league.
How long is it since he's had a job?
Yeah, but, you know, it's Roddy.
That's why he hasn't had a job. So we might as well talk about the other managerial situations while we're here. Please don't link Roddy Collins to any more
of
these jobs.
Well, I think these are a bit more... it's a Sligo job, certainly a bit more nailed on.
Our listenership will dramatically drop for this show. But, let's talk about the Sligo situation. It seems Liam Buckley is going to be the man.
Seems nailed on, doesn't it, from what we've seen in the press and online. It should be a good fit, to be honest, because he's obviously the experienced Sligo play. You'd say a similar type of club, similar type of level, similar type of support. I think it'd be a decent fit.
I think it's a fantastic appointment.
I really do.
I think the style of football, he's going to go straight in there. Sligo have kept the tradition of having a manager that's going to play that attractive style of football, that's going to get the supporters on the edge of their seat. You mentioned the support there. I think they probably have better support than Pat's, higher numbers. Even when they've done quite poorly in the league this season, the crowds have still been very, very steady. So I hope he's going to get a bit of money to play with, and I think we'll see Sligo much higher up the table next season.
Yeah, I don't think he's the kind of manager that's going to really gamble and bring untested players over into the league. You know, you'll probably see a couple of Pats players move over. It would not surprise me at all. You know, they'd be very loyal to him, to Buckley. So I think you might see a couple making the move to the other coast.
As for St. Pat's, Kenny Cunningham, a name been linked there.
Yeah, I'm not too keen on that one. I don't know too much about his managerial background or coaching background. And often good players don't necessarily make good managers, that old adage.
And I think Kenny has admitted himself publicly. He does a lot of media, obviously. He's admitted he doesn't know an awful lot about the League of Ireland. He doesn't get to see an awful lot of it.
Yeah, well, to me, when I'm going to a job interview, that's not the way I would start. You know, you tend to do your research and make sure you're confident in what you're going to.
But
so
again, we've mentioned the two names, the Drogheda manager Tim Clancy and Neil Fenn. They had very, very little to no knowledge of the First Division. They set out their vision of how they wanted the team to play, the structures they were going to put in place, and that was enough to attract those committees to vote them in as manager. So maybe Cunningham, if he has similar visions and a different way of doing things, maybe Pats can say, we can work with this guy.
I think he's more likely to be one of the tried and tested managers. We talked about mention of Pat Fenlon, he'd be one of the favourites.
No,
what's wrong with Pat Fenlon?
Some of these names you're coming out with is,
yeah.
I think,
and
Fenlon
Harry
is,
Kenny as well would
Harry
be,
Kenny now is a much more sensible nomination, but I think Fenlon himself has admitted that he's taken a back seat in management. He sees himself more as someone that works upstairs at clubs now. Mm-hmm. There's less pressure involved. I mean, his stint at Rovers was an absolute disaster. I think we've seen the last of him managing the League of Ireland.
Right, okay.
And Pats is a club that doesn't have huge finances to play with either, and Fenlon traditionally has been a checkbook manager.
Right, okay. Well, that's fair enough, Kieran. You have your opinion on it?
Yeah, I think we've said
all. I'm only going with the links and with the favourites with the betting, you know. So he is quite high up, so there must be some. There's no smoke without fire.
I don't know, someone in Paddy Power must be crazy.
Okay.
Let's go to the playoffs, John.
Right, okay. So, first leg, we said it was going to be difficult for Drogheda, didn't we, after that long, long match against Shells. And, well, they started off well enough, didn't they? Kieran Kelly giving them the opener against...
I think that's Kelly's sixth goal of the season from fullback. He's had a very, very good season. He's one of the players I mentioned recently in an article on BetweenTheStripes.ie as one of the seven top young talents that could make the step up to Premier Division football.
I think if Drogheda don't go up, I think there'll be a few clubs that will be having a very close look at him.
Yeah, I actually seen the other day online, whether it's true or not, you have to take everything with a pinch of salt these days, but there was mentions that maybe Dundalk were keeping tabs on him.
Yeah, it reminds me of a bit of a Georgie Kelly move, you know, type of thing. One for the future, maybe. They've seen something and they think, you know, he's such a good manager, isn't he, at developing these young players and bringing
That'd
the best out of them.
That'd be a bit of blow for Drogheda if they don't go up and they lose one of their top young talents to their local rivals.
Well, yeah, it would be, but are you stirring the pot or is
no,
it...
No, that's, I haven't been sent on any type of mission here, but... Yeah, it just proves why these playoffs are so important. If you have young talents coming through, I mean, promotion, you're going to keep them. If you don't go up, there's always the danger the bigger fish can come in and snap them up. So,
I always thought this was going to be a step too far for Drogheda.
So they've done well to get a result. Obviously, at home, they would have liked to get the win. And I was speaking to Harps fans, and they admit themselves they didn't play well on the night.
No.
And they were lucky to walk away with this result. And now going with the home advantage in the next leg. I know that counted for nothing in the last round. Shells had home advantage in that second leg. But I think that was a different kettle of fish.
It's
I think.
Very different going up to Finn Harps. Yeah. Nathan Boyle with the equaliser in that match. And you'd think that would give them the upper hand for the second leg.
Yeah, Boyle came back halfway through the campaign from an unsuccessful spell at Derry. And he scored straight away on his debut against Longford, actually. And he's been a very good asset for Ollie Horgan since he's come back. So that's paid off there. I do think, though, with home advantage, Sean, I think we're going to see a Harps Limerick game again, like we did in 2015.
Yep. Well, you know, my feeling on it, I think whoever gets through that will beat Limerick, but we shall see. But anyway, it is a goalkeeper special, Kieran, so let's bring on our next guest.
Yeah, the man has been at Finn Harps for 9 seasons, not consecutively though. He had one season away at Derry, but a man greatly associated with Finn Harps in recent years. He's been probably, John, for me, one of the best goalkeepers, most solid goalies in the First Division.
Pretty consistent, isn't he? I mean, I think the one thing I like about a goalkeeper is not hearing them being mentioned too much.
Great point.
It's you know, it sounds like they're doing the job and doing it well.
But we're going to hear from him now. It's Kieran Gallagher of Finn Harps. Okay, folks, we're continuing our playoff coverage this week on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line this week by Finn Harps goalkeeper Kieran Gallagher. Kieran, welcome to the show.
Cheers, Kieran. Thanks, man.
So, Kieran, it's a huge week again for Finn Harps. Playoff against Limerick comes after this for the winner, but it's Drogheda United. What's your feelings on the opponents?
Yeah, looking forward to it. It was a tough game last Friday in Drogheda, and we're expecting another tough game this Friday to come. The games between us and Drogheda have been very, very tight this season, and expect no different this Friday. But hopefully we can get a good result out of it and extend our season by a few more weeks.
Yeah, so a draw in the first leg, as you mentioned. Were we always likely to see a cagey encounter?
Probably. Look, we weren't great ourselves. We didn't start the game very well. First half, that we know we just weren't at it. But we improved slightly in the second half, and then probably after we scored, we probably sat back a little bit too much. But look, it's an okay result. It was a good result in there for considering how we played. But like, it might mean nothing come the end of the game Friday, so we've got to be at it again. Drogheda have some quality players, and we know about that. We know the threat. It's as a player, it's a nice position to be in, to be playing for something towards the end of the season, and keeping the season going.
Yeah, I suppose it's following the last tie between Shells and Drogheda. That was a cagey first leg, and then we all know what happened in the second leg. With home advantage now for yourselves in this game, are you hoping to capitalise on that?
You can see what happened exactly in the second leg with Drogheda. Anything can happen in these kind of games, you know. All it takes is a sending off or, you know, anything to go against you. But, it's going to be extremely tough. I expected to be very tight, and it could even go as further than the 90 minutes. Who knows? Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it now. And like I said before, it's a nice position to be in. There's plenty of seasons over the years where maybe you're playing towards the end of the season, you're playing our games with nothing to play for. But hopefully we can get a good result Friday night and look forward from there.
Mm, and I imagine you're hoping for a huge crowd to turn out now to Finn Park.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Probably from the past experiences of playoffs and stuff, there was always good crowds at it, which always helps, you know, yourself. So it can be a big factor in tight games. So yeah, we're hoping for a good crowd. Hopefully that may be enough to get us over the line.
And obviously you're one of the players that's experienced the playoffs previously with Harps. Do you feel that's a big help in these playoff games, having that experience behind you?
Oh, well, it's definitely some kind of maybe help. But again, like, we're going to need a lot more. We're going to need a wee bit of luck maybe Friday night. We're going to have to be at it. We're going to have to play a lot better than we did last Friday. Let's hope from our point of view that we have the same kind of outcome as we did last time. It'd be nice to finish the season that way, you know.
And obviously I'm sure the players and Ollie Horgan himself, he's not going to let you look any further ahead than this game on Friday night, but obviously supporters and the like, they're already talking about the fact that it's Limerick again, and we obviously seen what happened a couple of years ago between Harps and Limerick. Is that in the back of your mind at all?
No, you know yourself, from our point of view, we're looking no further than this week. No, looking forward to training tonight, and then after that, look forward to Friday. There's no point for us looking any further than that at the moment, because we realise how tough it's going to be to even get it any further than Friday night. Like you said, you know yourself, it all comes as part of football. Fans will have, you know, they might look further than Friday night, but from our point of view, we're not going to go further. Try and get the job done Friday night, and then from Friday night onwards, we can look at something else. But no, for us, it's just trying to extend the season as long as possible, long enough off season. So okay. Just looking forward to it.
And obviously, Kieran, the other big talking point in this tie is the fact, obviously, Paddy McCourt is going to retire at the end of the season. What's it been like to play and train alongside him every week?
It's been great. Sometimes, you know, maybe when he thanks you from Tony, it's not as good. But it's been great. It's been great to kind of share a training pitch with somebody of his quality and his experience, you know, and he's brought a lot to the team and the club. Hopefully his last game's on Friday, and he has a couple more games after that. It'll be a disappointment to see him leave. You know, he's been a great asset over the last 2 years.
And obviously Finn Harps relegated from the Premier Division last season. We've seen Drogheda relegated last season. They're going to play in the First Division next year. Galway the same. Obviously as a Longford Town fan, I've seen Longford stuck in the First Division for many years. It's a very, very difficult league to get out of, Kieran. So how important is it that Harps try and capitalise as much as possible on this playoff situation?
Yeah, look, you hit the nail on the head. You know, you're sure yourself how tough it is. It took us a number of years of trying to get out last time. So, yeah, look, it's, everyone knows how tough the First Division is. So we've got ourselves in this position now. Over the last couple of months, we really want to try and take advantage of that. Yeah, look, it's going to be what it's like all year between in our games with any team, not just, you know, with the top couple of sides. The any team has been tough. It's only been a goal or two in it. So yeah, we're expecting another tough game this Friday night.
Finally, Kieran, you're a man that's been capped at underage level for Ireland. You must be extremely disappointed to see how the senior team is faring at the moment.
Yeah, look, as a fan yourself, it's not nice to be at the moment, the results that they're kind of coming out with. But yeah, sometimes it's just disappointing, you know. You look for a bit of positivity, maybe last night and stuff. It's just kind of, it's not nice whenever, you know, the fans are in the mood that they are with what they're seeing and stuff like. But yeah, no, it's not nice at the moment, is it?
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you think there should be a change in management?
Yeah, look, it's probably. I seen a couple of stats earlier where Martinelli's win ratio was better than a number of other managers a couple of months ago, or back in start of 16 or whatever it was. Now it's worse, kind of. So he's over the last while, like, it's been kind of
downward slope,
going downhill. So yeah, probably would be great, yeah, for a new fresh man to come in. But as long as we won Friday night, I'll be happy on that.
Kieran, super stuff. Hopefully we haven't done your international call up hopes any harm there with that final question. Thanks for joining us.
Think that boat's good long gone.
Thanks for joining us on the show, and best wishes to everyone at Finn Harps for this weekend's huge playoff game.
Good man, Kieran. Tom, all right, cheers.
Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So hopefully that's going to be a cracking second leg in the playoffs, just like it was in Tolka Park recently. But let's move to the Premier Division review, John. Waterford defeated at home at the RC 2-1 by the champions Dundalk, who did not look like they wanted to ease up at all.
No, and we said this might have a real end of season friendly type encounter, but yeah. Not really. I mean, they got off to a good start at Dundalk, and a Duffy free kick, Hoban had a shot blocked, and then Mountney picked Hoban out, but his header went wide. So, I mean, there was chances. And then a McElhaney trademark curler was well saved by Corbett, and Massey headed over. Dundalk really dominated from the start, Kieran.
Yeah, they did. They got quite a lot of possession early on and got on top. The goal came then, and when they got the second, it didn't look like they were going to let it go, but yeah. Waterford put up a good fight later on.
Yeah, and the goal came from a trademark Pat Hoban header. He just keeps breaking the records.
So powerful in the air.
Yeah, oh, he's superb in the air, isn't he? And Murray got the second, despite nearly fluffing his lines by falling over. It was a bizarre.
Yeah, you don't
moment.
Think he meant. You don't think he tried to strike it like that? No,
I don't think so.
Off balance.
No,
yeah.
No. He's completely off balance.
Unfortunately, Soccer Republic don't do replays of goals, so you can never get a second look at these things unless you're.
They don't do the Iron Brew Cup neither, Kieran. Like us.
Yeah.
Mountney had a shot blocked on the line. Gavin Holland, he had a shout for a penalty late on, Kieran. That could have been.
Yeah. What did you make of that one, John?
I thought probably not, but I don't know. Difficult to
it's
know.
It's one of
really.
Those you needed several replays really to make
so, yeah,
a decision.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you're resorting to that, how is a referee supposed to decide? So he's probably right. He can't be 100% sure. He has to let it go.
I know poor referees, they get a lot of criticism, but it's a terribly difficult job, especially when you look at decisions like that. It's a tough one, but. Great run from Desi Hutchinson, and he pulled, well, it was a consolation goal, but it was a super run to get on the end of that move.
Yeah, we're after giving a bit of bashing there to Soccer Republic, but I have to say they highlighted something brilliantly. Did you see the reaction of the Dundalk back four to Mountney letting Hutchinson make that run? the goal went in and the back, Sean Gannon was screaming at John Mountney, why did he let the man run into the edge of the box? The title is won. They could easily take their foot off the pedal, but that Dundalk team is just so competitive. They're winners. That's the attitude they have. It's great to see.
Ah, we're only jibing about Soccer Republic anyway, aren't we? They've felt it out with a few of their pundits on in the past. But so yeah, that's how it finished, Kieran. Waterford won, Dundalk 2. So champions go marching on. Waterford, you know, they're guaranteed the European place for next season.
Yeah, and important to mention, Dundalk have broken the record for goals, 79 league goals this season, and they're going to be looking to get a record points total now when they play Sligo on Friday night.
Yeah, you have a competition, Kieran, for our listeners.
Well, we'll announce the winner of last week's competition first. We did a competition for a Richie Towell print, a fantastic print by League of Ireland artist Barry Masterson. His illustrations were actually on the cover of the Ireland programmes this
and
week.
And I think they were the best bits of the matches from what I gathered.
But he's given us a Richie Towell print to give away. And all you had to do to enter there was leave a review on our iTunes page, and we were going to pick our favourite review. Brendan 4523, you are the winner. So if you can get in contact with us on Twitter or Facebook, we will arrange that prize out to you.
He'll not lose any matches with that formation, will he? 4-5-2-3.
As for this week's competition, as a thanks to our Dundalk listeners for their support last week, we have 5 free coffees and pastries to give away, thanks to Coffee Time in Dundalk, a fine establishment there in the centre of Dundalk town, run by our good friend Stevie. So he has put that up, and we're going to run a little competition on Twitter for that one, so keep an eye out on our Twitter page at Between Stripes. So the next game, John.
Yeah, the other FAI Cup finalist, Cork, they had a pretty routine victory over Limerick.
Cork reserves, Cork, I think we should point out.
Yeah, well, it was Jimmy Keohan that scored early on, so he put that 1-0. It's pretty. Danny Morrissey had a shot tipped wide by Cherry. So
I think Morrissey could be a big player for Limerick in the playoffs. He's had a bad injury. He's coming back, finding his fitness. And that snapshot was an illustration of his eye for goal. I know it didn't go in, but he has that instinct that the other Limerick strikers don't seem to have.
I think you just summed it up nicely by saying he's coming back from that bad injury, you know. And to me, is he the same player? I just don't think he has the influence that he maybe used to have.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see indeed. Sadly, he got the second. He rounded the keeper 2-0. Are you saying Sadly is part of Cork reserves, Kieran?
He hasn't played in all the big games this season, has he? But I have to say, on Sadler, I find it amazing he scored. I think that was his 22nd goal of the season. And as we've pointed out several times on the show, he's been left out with some very big games, left out with the European games. So what have you made of his performances this season?
Well, we're going to go on to our team of the season later on. Yeah. But he'd be in mine, Kieran. And, you know, he had a hand in all in everything here. You know, his free kick hit
the
bar.
Does he do it when it matters? That's the big question.
Well, yeah, he scored a lot of goals early on in the season, Kieran, before he sort of got frozen out a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah. Do you think he'll be there next season?
I don't think so, because we're going to talk about a potential reduction in Cork City's finances.
A big reduction.
And a big one at that, yeah. And I'm struggling to think how they can keep hold of
I know there is talk of a couple of English clubs sniffing around them, so they might have to sell off the likes of Sadley or McNamee, etc.
Yeah, which would be a crippling blow to Cork. He chipped white 3-0 when Aaron Barry headed in. And again, that was created by Sadley. You know, he seems to, you know, for me, he's one of the best players in the league on his day. I know you're sort of criticising him.
No, don't get me wrong. I think natural ability wise, he probably is the best player in the league.
Yeah.
There's questions over his application, whether he's just not putting it in because he doesn't feel loved by that manager. Is he one of them players that needs an arm around his shoulder? Would someone like a Stephen Kenny, would he fit better into that philosophy? We don't know. It's all ifs and buts.
Yeah, I think Stephen Kenny's pretty happy with what he's got.
So to get 22 goals and for people to be putting question marks next to him, what could he do in a team where he is the main man?
Yeah, I think, you know, that there's definite, you could build a
team around him.
Yeah, like you would do McLennie in midfield, you know. So he's definitely that type. But like I said, Kieran, I would be concerned about this potential reduction in budget at Cork City. Mm. I think it'll weaken the league. And I can only see Dundalk's dominance.
Why do you feel it will weaken the league? Just because, Dundalk's dominance.
Exactly.
Or do you not feel it'll give the other teams in third, fourth, fifth, etc. a chance to close in on second?
It will, but I just
Is that good for the league? Is that bad for the league?
Yeah, well, it's good in a way, but I just think there could be a massive gap between first and second at the end of the next season, which certainly is not good for the league.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I think we needed to see a strong Cork City challenge. And my worry is that they'll be forced to clear out their bigger earners, the likes of the players that have stood up for them this season, the likes of Sadlier, Aaron Barry, maybe, you know, the big names, Shepherd. You could see quite a few of them leaving.
I suppose the other teams, like the Shamrock Rovers, is the name that's always going to be mentioned. If they can get closer to Cork next season, finish second, I suppose then they're thinking they can build for the year after that to try and go and challenge Dundalk. But there's definitely the danger now that we could see a couple of Dundalk years of dominance.
Don't be surprised if you see a few of these players turn up at Waterford as well. They have the bit of money. Yeah. It's not too far away, and although it'd be very unpopular in certain places, it would not surprise me one bit.
Let's move on to the next fixture. It was a Dublin Derby. Shamrock Rovers coming out 1-0 winners at Richmond Park.
Yeah, it was. I have to say, it was a bit difficult to get too excited about this one. It had a bit of an end of season feel it.
Even for a derby, they're usually quite tasty affairs. It was a good crowd, a good atmosphere, but just didn't spark life at all, really, did it?
No, not really. A few early chances. Brendan headed wide. Lee blasted over. Toner went close on a couple of occasions. He's obviously quite useful when in the opposition box for set pieces and the likes. Brendan Kavanagh headed a Boyle crossover. As the game progressed, it was only in the last quarter of the game, I would say, that Shamrock Rovers really started to put a take hold of that game.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's superior fitness or what, but Pats seemed to run out of steam. And
did you think Pats were more direct than usual on the night? They seemed, most of their chances seemed to come through long balls, headed attempts, set pieces.
I just don't think they had a good night, full stop.
Yeah, Rovers seemed to dominate the ball, and that's not usually the case with St. Pats. Usually Pats are a team that dominate possession.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because, I mean, you've got Jerry O'Brien, and he obviously wants to make an impact as caretaker manager or whatever. But
he was a defender, obviously. We spoke about Owen Heary maybe been a defender and been more inclined to set his teams up defensively. Yeah. Is that a danger with Jerry O'Brien there?
Well, I think quite possibly. And to me, they just ran out of steam.
Mm.
And like in that last quarter when Rovers started to dominate, you saw Brendan Clark having to make a couple of really good saves, most notably from Kavanagh. Effort and Joe Custrain as well, but the goal came right at the death.
It was so poorly defended. How can you leave
awful,
one of their most potent attackers totally free inside the 6-yard box?
Well, to be fair, it was a good team move from Rovers, but you'd have to question the defender. The marking was poor. To me, they were just out of steam completely. Mm. They were a team that was. That they almost looked like they played a couple of days before because they got so ragged that last quarter.
I just think there's an awful lot of dead wood there that needs to be moved out before next season.
Possibly, but there is a vacancy there, Kieran. Any suggestions who might be taking over that St. Pat's hot seat?
I think the one you've mentioned, Harry Kenny, is probably.
Yeah.
And he did a great job with Bray. Obviously, he had strong finances there. Pats don't have an awful lot of money to play with. So it's an attractive job, but it's a difficult job. There's a lot of expectation from the fans, and you're definitely going to have to play a certain style of football. So there's very few candidates that are eligible for that, I would say.
Yeah, and they won't want to be in Rovers show and things like that again next season. And
I'm sure, is to get back into Europe, into that pot of gold, and then they can start spending a bit more. But it's not easy. But you're mentioning Cork there, a budget cut. That gives the likes of Pats something now to build for, to try and break into that top four again next season.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that Pats team and I'm just quite, there isn't the level of talent that there would be at a lot of the clubs around them. In almost like individual talent, Kieran, you struggle to say, right, he's a really good player that can build the team
again,
around
it.
Yeah, so.
Good news for Pats this week, they're under 15s, were the cup winners, so the young talent keeps coming through at that club.
And I think that's what they'll have to concentrate on.
I think so, yeah.
To keep developing the youngsters and, hopefully see a path through to the first team, but it's difficult to know who could go in there and really turn things around straight away.
The transfer window is going to be crazy this year. I think there's going to be an awful lot of movement, and it's going to be so important to clubs whether they can progress next season or not. Sligo, new manager coming in, St. Pat's, new manager coming in. Obviously, we're going to see Bray going down after so many years in the Premier League. There's going to be an awful lot of movement, so it's going to be a huge transfer window.
Yeah, absolutely massive, and we could see a lot of teams completely transformed, Kieran.
Let's move on to the Premier Division review for this weekend. John, I'm going to do it now on this week's show. I'm going to officially concede defeat in the St. Mel's Brewery game. You're 12-2 up, so I'm going to shake your hand now. Congrats, well done.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
And to the folks at St. Mel's, will be in, or John will be in, to collect his crate.
We'll both go in.
I will both go in, yeah. We'll get a couple of photos. Thanks to St. Mel's for the support this year of the show. It's been absolutely superb. Let's start our preview with Dundalk versus Sligo. Game will be live on RT, and it's the night that Dundalk will be presented with the trophy for the fourth time in five seasons.
Yep, and they won't want to make a horlicks of that match, will they? Because let's face it, Sligo don't have too much to play for, and managerless at the moment. Whereas Dundalk, you think they'll be still going all cylinders.
Yeah, I think even though this is end of season stuff for Dundalk, I think we could see a bit of a hammering here for Sligo. It's got to be a daunting experience. No manager. Morale around the camp seems to be quite low. Going up to Oriel Park Place is going to be absolutely rocking with that trophy presentation in mind. I think Dundalk could win this by 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah, I agree, Kieran, because let's face it, they're going to still want to put a performance on for all the fans that are there.
And there's players playing for cup final places there too.
Yeah.
So a lot of intensity still in that Dundalk side.
Yeah, yeah. Sligo, disappointing season. Can't see them getting anything here. All
huge,
eyes will be on
huge,
next
huge
season.
Transfer window ahead for them. I mean, the recruitment of that club has been dreadful in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, Kieran, and they're going to need...
They need some experienced League of Ireland players. Now, I'm not talking journeymen. They need players that have played 3-4 seasons. They've done it. You're going to get a worst of 6 out of 10 every week. They're going to throw in plenty of 7s and 8s and the occasional 9. That's the type of player they need.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at... I think they'll be maybe looking at... If Harps fail to go up through the playoffs, we talked about their defensive players. And that's something where Sligo have struggled this season.
Sligo, another club that have a certain style of play that you're going to have to stick to that. So, again, they're fishing in a smaller market in that sense. But... obviously they have the issue as well. It's harder for them to attract players because a lot of the time they have to relocate to Sligo and they don't want to do that. So that's why you've seen so many players come in from the UK. I think they need to just put a stop to that for a while. And the odd player from the UK is grand, but...
And they've been gambles.
They've been gambles,
total
yeah.
gambles. Total shot in the dark, some of them.
The one positive recently has been Mikey Drennan.
Oh, yes.
And you'd like to see him stay there. But beyond that, I mean, Adam Morgan came in, weak question marks over it. Bit of a disaster. There's been loads of examples of other foreign players that have come in, hasn't worked. So Sligo need to just look at the domestic market now for next season and try and get a solid squad in place that they can build
still,
on.
Still don't know why Ali Roy didn't work there neither. But look, that's Sligo. Rovers host Waterford. This is a battle for third place. All that extra prize money to be played for.
I wish, John. I think John Delaney's party there last night, that's probably where most of the prize money went. This is... probably a bit of an end of season game too. They all are. There's very little to play for in the Premier Division, which is quite disappointing. But Shamrock Rovers at home, going to be looking for the win. Waterford, I'm sure they'd love to finish third, but Rovers would have to slip up again later down the line. So I think we might see a bit of a dull stalemate in this one.
Yeah, I think Shamrock Rovers might edge this one, Kieran. I think Waterford, they started the season very, very well. Maybe got found out a little bit. Teams got more used to playing them and where their strengths were. And I think Shamrock Rovers will sneak that one, Kieran.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Limerick, who have been absolutely abysmal in recent weeks, they're taking on St. Pat's, the managerless St. Pat's.
I don't expect anything to change, to be honest. I expect Limerick to be just as poor as they have been.
Pats looked very, very flat, though, against Rovers in the Dublin derby at home, which is disappointing. So can they lift themselves for what is essentially a totally meaningless game?
Yeah, I just don't think Limerick have the players to trouble
to
them.
Teams,
I just don't. I said a long time ago, they're a first division side now, Kieran. And I know you picked me up on it, but I just don't think that they've got the quality there anymore. I expect Pats to win this.
You'd like to think Pats will win it, but... as I said, they were very flat recently. Their performance in Oriel was good, but in an attacking sense, they didn't show an awful lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if this one ends in a draw.
Okay. Bowes head to Bray. Bray still appalling form. I said about poor Gaz Cronin's having an awful time. So he's gone there. I'm sure his mission is next season, but very, very difficult to get players up when you're going out week after week after week. And
the only thing, I suppose, the pressure is off. They have been relegated. They were never expected to stay up. I know there's a better feel around the club, it has to be said, since Milo Driscoll's come in there, and I know they're doing a promotion here where I think if you go to the Bulls match, offer. You get him free for the Derry the next game. So hopefully a big crowd will turn out. Bose, we don't know the situation with their Iron Brew Cup fixture at the moment, but they're going to be on a high off that. Whether we see Keith Long maybe give a couple of players a run out in this one, it's very hard to judge these end of season fixtures because managers do tend to switch things up a little bit, and you just don't know if teams are going to be up for it on the day or not.
But even Bose reserves have been very impressive, haven't they, when they've played this season?
Been passing second string.
So I think Bose will win it, whatever they turn out there.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Finally, Kieran, Derry host Cork. This could be, depends what Cork team go out, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a long trip up to the Brandywell.
You can forget Fortress Brandywell, that's a myth nowadays.
Tough one to call. Cork, as we said, we've seen their reserves go out and win very, very comfortably against Limerick, but Derry are a big step up on Limerick. Derry, have they a lot to play for?
No, not really. There seems to be some questions to whether they're still any chance of going into Europe, but I think it's dead and buried, isn't it?
I think that's gone. I suppose from a managerial point of view, if you're Kenny Shields, you might just keep drumming that idea into the players to keep them going. But you'd like to think with home advantage there you can win, but as you said, that's not as reliable as it used to be. Your prediction on this one?
I think Cork will win, actually, Kieran.
Okay. We're going to hear now from our final guest of the evening. It's the Derry City goalkeeper, Ger Doherty. Okay, so I'm delighted to say we're going to be joined on the line now by a man celebrating his testimonial year at Derry City this season. It's, of course, their goalkeeper, Ger Doherty. Ger, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
All right, lads, how's it going?
So, Ger, as I said, their testimonial year, congratulations, amazing achievement. It's not too often you see that in the League of Ireland. Can you tell us a little bit about what events are happening to mark the occasion?
We've had a couple already. See, it's coming to the end of the season now, like only a couple of games left. So there's only one more thing left now, actually. There's a big function we're having now in the Maldron Hotel. That's going to be the 27th of this month now. That's the last big hurrah as such. We've had a couple of wee events during the year there. We had a couple of wee casino nights and night at the races, but wasn't nothing too over the top, just a couple of wee nights for a bit of crack.
Anyone empty the pockets on the casino night?
A couple of boys weren't too happy, but hey, it's not my fault. They're no good at picking horses.
And just from a testimonial point of view, is it strange in a season that I suppose there's more attention on you than usual? Do you find that a little bit off-putting, or is it an enjoyable experience to have your 10 years at the club marked?
No, hey, it's not too bad. 10 years is a long time at one club. It sort of gave me a wee chance to sort of sit back and think about the last 10 years. It has been a long time, as you say before. There's not many people that do it in the League of Ireland. There's not many people that do it at the club level anymore. It's something I'm really proud of. As you say, 10 years is a long old time, but it wouldn't be a swan song for myself. I think I've plenty of years left. So maybe another 5 or 6, you never know.
Now, Jeff, forgive me if this information is incorrect. Our research is top class as always with the Wikipedia. I was having a little scroll through it today, and there was mention of a trial with Valencia earlier in your career. Is that true?
I don't know who's been putting things together on. No, I'll tell you what that was. That was a long, long time ago. Whenever I was actually involved with Ireland under 18s, and my agent at the time was telling me that Valencia wanted me over for a couple of weeks, but stupidly enough, somebody asked me the question while I was along with Ireland, and I told them I'll be going over here, I'll do this, and then they put it in the media, which led to Valencia coming back and sort of thinking we were putting the pressure on, so that didn't really materialise, so it was probably my fault and being a wee bit young and naive at the time.
I did have to check with Kieran, and I said, are you sure it didn't say he was on trial in Valencia?
I might have went on holiday that year, but that's about the height, sadly.
Very good.
Obviously, you've had experience abroad, though, Ger, with TNS, an incredible trophy haul there. What was the experience like playing it in Wales? And standard-wise, how would you compare it with the League of Ireland?
No, but it was great at the time. It was my first sort of whack at proper senior football. Whenever I went there, it was sort of, they were on a transition period, and there was a bit of money getting pumped in, and they had new ideas, and they were going professional and stuff. So it was a wee bit strange for me to get used to the full-time setup. I was only a young age. But no, as you say, we had good success there at the time. The manager at the time, Ken McKenna, is a bit of a legend in the League of Wales, and he put together a good squad, to be fair to him, and the chairman as well, they backed the club, and even now they're still sort of riding on the success that they had from the start. Like, so they've done it well over there. Like, they had a good model, and they built the club up well, and as you say, we had good times at TNS, nothing but good memories over there, a couple of trophies, a couple of leagues, and obviously a couple of European ties that were a great experience for myself as well. Like, but I look back with fond memories at TNS. It was a great time for myself.
Yeah, no, I always think it's always a little unfair in the League of Wales, because TNS, I think I'm right in saying they might be the only professional setup. Is that correct?
As I say, they done it well, and they had a good backer at the time, and they went professional, and the club sort of runs itself. They have a 4G and they rent it out, and they have a good model over there, as I say, and they're a very successful team. But I'm just looking around there, I always keep an eye on them, and there's a couple of teams that have a wee go at it. Once in a while, somebody would compete with them. I think it's Connors Key this year that they beat Coleraine not that long ago. Like, so, always keep an eye on them, like, and see how they're getting on. But no, to be fair, TNS is a great wee club.
And Ger, I think a lot of people forget that you actually started your career as a 16-year-old with Derry, and you made a senior appearance before then, obviously going to England with Derby. We've spoken there about your time at TNS. What was the driving force behind the decision to return to Derry City?
No, I was at TNS for a long time as well. I think I had 8 seasons at TNS, and at the time, my wife Adele, she moved over, and she was over maybe a year and a half, nearly 2 years, and we were sort of just getting itchy feet, and I was always keeping an eye on Derry City, and a few of my friends at the time, Barry Malloy and Kevin Deary, were still at the club, and Roy Higgins, and they were doing very well, and it was always something that I wanted to get back to. You know, it was always something that I wanted to experience, because being so young and starting 16, 17, I couldn't really get into it at the time. Like, I was just sort of maybe too much of a youngster at the time, but I thought then I had a good experience with TNS and something I could bring to the Derry side as well. And luckily enough, at the time, Dickie Devine was in touch with me, and they were looking for another goalkeeper whenever Stephen Kenny came back here, and I just got the shout to come back over. Like, so as soon as Dickie and Stephen was asking, was I coming back, then there was no other option for myself. Like, I wanted to come back and play for Derry City, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, and over 420 games later, you're still standing. Hard to believe?
It is sometimes, you know. At the start, I was a Derry fan. As I say, when I was away, I was always checking their results, and then you come back, and you're in awe of the place, and you're playing at the Brandywell in front of packed houses, and you know, it's great, and you're just, sometimes you sort of forget the times that you're actually in that wee bubble, and you're training, you're playing, and suppose this year, as you say, with a 10 years of testimonial, I get to sort of look back and think of the good times that we had, like, and hopefully many more to come, like, now. But it's something I'm very proud of for Derry City, and I'll continue to be proud to do it. Like.
And the League Cup this season and at the new Brandywell, you know, that must have been, probably one of the highlights, if not the highlight of the career. Would it be anything that tops it?
No, probably the only thing for Derry City for me would be the 2012 Cup final, the Cup run we went on that year. You know, a lot of fond memories of that year, and we had a great wee squad, and the boys all sort of mixed well. You know, it was just a great year, 2012. It was finished off with a Cup run, and obviously at the time, it's well documented. My grandfather passed away a couple of days before, but we went and played the match, and I knew my family was watching back home and stuff like that. So that was a really proud moment for myself. Like, and it's on I don't think that can be topped. But to be fair, this year as well, like, you know, we've had probably an inconsistent enough year. It's been tough enough, but then we've won it up, as you say, too, and doing that at the Brandywell, like, you know, it was great coming back, and I suppose we all had Mark and Ryan on our minds at the time too, like, so it was great to sort of lift the cup and remember them two lads as well at the same time.
Yeah, and I remember that 2012 final you mentioned. I remember being at that game, and it was such a topsy-turvy game. Pats obviously took the lead with that fantastic free kick, and then it looked like it was, you didn't know what way it was going to go. So it was a fantastic occasion. The support from Derry that day was superb, so I can definitely see why that's one of your highlights. Sorry, go ahead, Ger.
No, as you say, that's definitely one of the highlights. Like, you know, I've had 10 years, you're going to have good times. Like, and I've definitely had a few with Derry City, but the, as you say, the 2012 game was just so back and forward. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Luckily enough, we came out on top of the that day on that time ago.
Sadly, this season in the league has been a little bit more disappointing, Ger. What have you made of your league campaign overall?
Oh, hey, it's been tough. You know, it's strange as well because we're still with three games left, and I'm not 100% sure on what way this European thing's going. Nobody seems to know for definitely, but we just have to knuckle down for the last two or three games now and try and just get the best results we can, because, as you say, it's been, in my mind, like, it's been so inconsistent. It's been tough, you know. We've had a few changes. We've had a few people leave the squad, a few people come in, and we're just trying to bed down the best team we could, and it's been a wee bit topsy-turvy, but no, there's nothing we can do about it now. We just have to try and get the head down for the last couple of games and see where it takes us.
Ger, it's been fantastic having you on. Final question, 37 now, with the legs still there, another couple of years at Derry?
Hey, of course, the legs are still there, the brain's still sharp, like, so I think I have another 3 or 4 years left on me before I probably hang the gloves and the boots up and go on the coaching side of thing. But that's something to look forward to in the future, but my playing's still on my mind at the moment.
Have you started the coaching route at all? Any badges?
I'm still just in the middle, just looking for my final assessment now. I've gone through the IFA, the Northern Ireland setup, to get my goalkeeping diploma, like, so it's something I'll be looking to set up in the near future. There's a bit of a shortfall on goalkeepers around the northwest, and it's something I'll be looking to tap on to get young keepers on the Derry City as well, and hopefully develop a few in the future. Like, so it'll be exciting when it comes around it. But as I say, the playing's the only thing in my mind at the moment.
Well, there's certainly a shortage of goalkeepers around these parts. We had our first under 14 session the other night. Had to throw John in goals, and it wasn't pretty viewing. So we might get you down at some point, Ger.
Hang on a minute. We were just saying how long.
As easy as you boys think, you know.
Ger, superb stuff. Thanks very much for joining us.
All right, lads.
Congrats on the testimonial year, and we'll speak to you again soon.
All right, cheers, lads. Thank you.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So just before we go on to the next part of the show, John, I want to say a huge thank you to Lawrence and the media team up at Derry City for organising that interview with Ger Doherty. Usually I spend most of my week chasing down players for interviews, so when you have someone from a club like Derry messaging us to say, do you fancy Ger coming on the show this week? It's great for us, and huge thanks to Derry, and there's certainly a lot of clubs in the Premier Division that could learn from them, I have to say. Let's go on, John, to talk about the shambles that is Irish football at this moment in time.
You've summed it up well there, shambles, Kieran. But, you know, you probably saw my tweet, Kieran. I am just disappointed, I have to say, in the Irish fans and the Irish press, because if this was England, that have already put a turnip on Martin O'Neill's head.
Yeah, I am surprised about the lack of calls for his head after last night's result. I didn't travel to the game last night, and I'm a season ticket holder, and I do travel to as many away games as I can with work and finances, and I usually never miss a home game. I didn't go to the last two because simply I'm broke at the moment. And secondly, it's a huge task when you're working midweek to try and get up to Dublin and then back for an early start the next morning. And with the crap that's on offer at the moment, I don't see why you would. I went and watched the three under 19 games that were on in Longford, the Irish games. And the football the Irish 19s played was superb to watch. And it's the type of football our senior team should be playing.
So the answer to Ireland's troubles is play the under 19s and all international fixtures at the City Colin Stadium.
That would be good. But look, I wrote a piece for, I'm sure you've seen the John from BetweenTheStripes.ie, and it's had huge, huge feedback. I think it's probably one of the most read articles ever on our website. The headline was O'Neill is a symptom, not a cause. Basically, my main points in it were, there's been so much talk from the FEI in recent years, and they brought in Ruud Dokter, the Dutch guy, to oversee this big transformation in Irish football. And
he's transformed it, all right.
The underage teams all play the same way. They all play 4-2-3-1.
Yep.
And it's all about possession football. Then you have a senior team that's about hoofing the ball as high as you can up in the air.
Yep.
Now, my point is, what is the point in having all these structures of underage if you take the very best player from that under 19, under 21, under 17 side, let's say a player I'm sure everyone is familiar with, Troy Parra.
Yeah, he was
an absolute star for that under 17s team in the Euros, and he's doing superb stuff for the 19s. If you were to take him and drop him now into the senior squad tomorrow morning, he would be absolutely lost with the football they play. Now, that is no way to develop players for the future. Also, at underage level, we have this issue of simply picking players because they have a dual nationality situation and you're trying to nab them at an early age, whereas there's probably domestic-based players that are just as good, if not better, and they've been overlooked. The whole structure from top to bottom is a complete and utter shambles. The blame lays solely with the FAI. I mean, you can remove, this was the point of the article, you can remove Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane, Noel King, whoever you want in the morning. You're going to replace them with a manager that probably plays a very similar style of football. You'll get a short-term bounce in terms of results, etc. 2 years down the line, the whole thing will go stale again and we'll be back to the exact same starting point.
What is it? Is it just an acceptance that it's not going to change, that Delaney's not going to sack him? I mean, the ridiculousness of that new contract after getting hammered by Denmark here. Mm. It just seems bizarre. Now, I don't know. I just don't know. But I think the fans have got to demand change at this stage, because otherwise they're going to get relegated in this Nations League for a start.
Who cares?
Well, you should care. This is your international team I'm on about, Kieran.
This Nations League is a bit of a dud competition,
but
in all fairness.
You're going to carry this form into qualifiers, Kieran.
That's the bigger issue. It's the seeding now. They're going to be in the third pot for the qualification for the European Championship in 2020.
And they're not going to turn into world beaters overnight. You're going to carry on picking the likes of Shane Long, who hasn't scored in 73 years. And, you know, what is the point? Nothing's going to change.
That's the point. I mean, as I said, you can put another manager in there in the morning. They'll get a bounce in results. 2 years down the line, we'll be back in this situation, because the whole structure from top to bottom, there is no structure. As much as the FAI might like to tell you about they're doing this, they're doing that. Yeah, they've brought in the domestic leagues. But as I said, you can pick the best player from all the clubs and all the underage national teams, throw them into the senior team, they will be completely lost.
Pat Oban has not even had a look in at a training. I mean, he scored how many goals this season? He just keeps going up and up.
Yeah.
You know, surely they're crying out for somebody like that. Whereas we seem to be, Ireland seem to be, it's squared in round holes all the time.
I mean, Shane Long, as you said, hasn't scored in God knows how long.
Why does he have to be in every squad?
He wasn't fit the other night, but he still came on.
Yeah.
I mean, Callum Robinson and Shawnee Maguire are teammates at Preston and seem to have a good partnership there. They haven't played together for Ireland. He always brings one off when the other one comes on. I mean, why could he not start two up front, start Robinson and Maguire together? Why does it always have to be Shane Long? Why does it always have to be Jonathan Walters? I mean, in his interviews recently, he's been harping on about how Robbie Keane isn't around anymore. How does that make the current strikers feel?
But I just think you have to do something as fans.
Well, as fans, they have voted with their feet. I mean, you're seeing decent crowds at these last two games. The amount of free tickets that were given out, there was thousands upon thousands of free tickets given out. The FAI won't tell you that, but there was thousands of it. And that's annoying season ticket holders, because they've paid for tickets and they're starting to feel like, well, what are we paying for? The football is rubbish. There's people sitting next to me here getting free tickets. The whole thing, top to bottom, is a shambles, and the blame lays solely with the FAI.
I agree 100%.
And the biggest issue with the whole thing is there is absolutely zero accountability. There is no, I mean, they have an AGM, a football event, a football festival, whatever silly title they want to put on it every year, and the media cannot ask questions at it. It's a shambles.
It's a shambles. So you need to do something, Kieran. As fans, you cannot let this continue to your national team.
Right, I think we've said enough for you. You're getting me worked up again this week, John. Let's cause a bit of a pot stir of our own. We're going to end the show tonight by giving you the Between the Stripes team of the year for the Premier Division. I've picked my own team. John, you've picked your team, and I'm going to let you start.
Well, I'm going to start with the goalkeeper, and I'm going for Vigourou.
What?
Yeah, Vigourou. You heard me right.
You can't do that.
Why? Changed the rules enough, Kieran.
He's not in the league anymore.
He's made such a massive impact this season to Waterford's credentials. You think about the start of the season. When Vigourou was there, he was outstanding, Kieran. And
no doubt.
They wouldn't be in Europe if it wasn't for him.
Okay, fair enough. I probably would have made a few different selections to my own team.
Let me guess, you're going to go with Gary Rogers. Yawn. Who are you going with, Kieran?
Gary Rogers, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
I watched,
an obvious pick for you.
As you know, I watched Dundalk close up live quite a lot, and I was critical of Gary Rogers a lot on this show last season. His kicking is something that he's had a lot of question marks over. The improvement in Gary Rogers this season has been unbelievable. His kicking especially has been fantastic. He's made one or two errors, but I mean, overall, his entire game, and it was early on in the season when Dundalk had a slow start, he kept them in games. He's been absolutely superb, and I think on the amount of clean sheets he's kept this season as well, it has to be Gary Rogers.
Could be a long night, folks. Let's go to left back. I've gone for Dane Massey.
No. Field Dane didn't have his best year. I don't think, I think injuries, little niggly injuries here and there slowed him down at times. Definitely, without a doubt, one of the best, if not the best left back in the league. But this season, I don't think he was top of his game.
So who have you gone for, Kieran?
I've gone for Darragh Leahy.
Okay, I'm going to give you that because he's had a super season, hasn't he?
And he'll definitely have a couple of clubs sniffing around him in the offseason.
Oh, definitely. It'd be tricky to keep
hold of. Big fear for Bowes now, isn't it?
Yep. Big fear. Well, that's the problem. You know, they've got a few very, very highly prized assets that clubs are going to miss sniffing around.
Well, we'll jump over to right back.
Okay. I've gone for Simon Madden. He tends to be, you know, anything Pat's going forward, it tends to come down that right flank. You know you're going to get. You know what you're going to get with Madden. Flying fullback, puts the crosses in, creates goals. He must have plenty of assists this season, Kieran.
Yeah, solid. He's one of these players you will get a 6 to 7 out of 10 every week. But for me, Sean Gannon has been just on a different level this season. He's really upped his game, especially in the European games. I thought he was fantastic. For me, it has to be Gannon. I think Madden, definitely one of the best attacking fullbacks in the league. But I think Gannon is a more rounded player defensively. He's probably better than Madden.
Okay. Well, who's holding midfielding?
Are we not going centre-backs first?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, centre-backs.
I've gone with it's three of Dundalk's back four. I've gone for Brian Gartland, and I think for his first season in the league, Daniel Cleary has been absolutely superb.
I've exactly the same.
We finally agree on something. Fantastic.
Our centre backs might be the same, and I've got a funny feeling our holding midfielder might be the same.
It has to be Chris Shields, the man we spoke to last week.
Yeah. He's been excellent, hasn't he? Left wing, I would say we're probably going to be similar on this one as well.
Mikey Duffy.
Yeah. He's had a super season as Michael, and signed that new 2-year contract.
Still can't believe they've held on to him.
No, I'm sorry. Well, look, Dundalk have got Champions League next season, Kieran. You know, they're ambitious.
I think players are starting to see the grass isn't always greener. I mean, I'm sure if a championship club or a big club in England had come in for Michael Duffy, I'm sure he would have been extremely tempted. But I think we've seen with McElhenney going to Oldham, we've seen with other League of Ireland players dropping out of League 2 and then ended up getting relegated to the Conference, like we've seen with Fáil Súla. Well, I think they're starting to see the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
I see a lot of League 2 football, obviously being Yeovil fan, and you know, it's sometimes not the it's more agricultural than what you see with Dundalk. Right side of midfield, right winger?
Well, I have had to put a player out of position. I know you've gone for Kieran Sadlier.
Go ahead, Martin. A player out of position. Who have you gone for?
Christy. No, I've gone for Ronan Hale. I just felt for the season he's had at Derry, he had to be in my team somewhere. But I've gone with a 4-2-3-1 formation here, a bit of the Dutch system. Okay.
Right, so you've got that wrong, because Kieran Sadlier should walk into that team. How many goals has he got this season?
Yeah, 22 goals, and I probably do look a little bit silly now, but I just wanted to get Hale in there. I think he's been very good for Derry. He's been one of their bright sparks in a disappointing league campaign.
Okay, have you another midfielder there?
I'm going to go in deep midfield alongside Shields. I would have Bastian Heary.
Bastian Heary. I've also got Bastian Heary in there.
He just pulls the strings.
He does, and he's... you can't see that Waterford team without him, can you? He's one, if you take him out, they're going to have to rebuild a lot.
Just ahead of him then, looking to score some goals in this side, I'd have Aaron McInniff, who had a great start to the season.
He did, but like Derry, faded away a little bit, you know. Whereas the player I've got in that position has been a revelation recently since his move from Bray, and indeed from non-league, Daniel Kelly, Kieran.
Yeah, hard to disagree. Great end to the season. Two players that you've mentioned, Kelly, is linked with a couple of English clubs. I definitely think we'll see McInniff on the likes of Dundalk's radar.
Quite possibly, actually.
Up front, no argument here.
No, let me guess.
Patrick Hooban, yeah.
Yeah, super.
All right, so folks, if you have your team of the year selections, we'd love to hear them. Drop us a tweet to @BetweenStripes or find us on Facebook, facebook.com /Between the Stripes. We'll throw up some screenshots of our team so you can have a look at them.
Yeah,
again.
Who's got the best team? That's
We might put a Twitter poll up on that one,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Folks, that has been another excellent edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. As we said earlier, a lot of people are saying there's not much to play for in the League of Ireland, but there's just so much to talk about at the moment. And I really enjoyed that discussion on Ireland, John. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more on that in the next few days.
Yeah, and you say there's not a lot to discuss. It's end of season, but we keep throwing out an hour and a half shows. It's great.
And again, to the players that are offering their time to us, really is appreciated. To the clubs that are offering up the services of their players and been so cooperative with us, fantastic stuff. Just before we go, I want to mention first Longford Town people, the season may be over for the senior side, but the under-19s are in a Shield semi-final at home this weekend to Shelburne at the City Colin Stadium. I was at the quarter-final win over Derry. What a game, John. 2-0 down at half-time. Came back to 2-2 to bring it to extra time and won it in the 117th minute. But the referee, I have to say, oh, his treatment of Derry was shocking.
Oh, no, don't start again with referees, Kieran. Make that a two-hour show if
Derry, I have to say, were robbed. And even the Longford lads would admit that. It was disgraceful refereeing. But look, we won't get into that this week, so get out and support that. That should be a great tie against Shells, who beat Bray on penalties. Thanks to our sponsors, Lockery's here, who let us record the show every week in Drumlish. Thanks to Port Lockery and all the team there. Flowmax.ie, the show simply wouldn't be the same without them. They have been a great support to us this season. To Kieran and all the team at Diageo, again, creators of Diageo, or creators of BetweenTheStripes.ie, make sure you check that out for all our latest articles there. They've certainly been trending online lately. Thanks to Diageo there for creating that website. And to St. Mel's, John will be collecting his St. Mel's crate very soon.
You're looking forward to that. And we cannot go, Kieran, because we have a managerial debut this weekend, haven't we?
Yeah. We probably shouldn't mention it because the result mightn't go the way we want. But myself and John have taken over co-managerial roles at Arda under-14s. Had our first session during the week. You might have heard me ribbing John earlier on about his goalkeeping. Hopefully we'll have a youngster that's a little bit better with their hands this week than John was during the week, but certainly looking forward to it, John.
Yeah, absolutely, and we might get a few updates on the BTS Twitter feed and website, so it should be great fun, Kieran.
Yeah, we're going with the Dutch system too, 4-2-3-1, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Polish striker as well, the Longford Lewandowski, as I've christened him.
Yeah, it'll start with 4-2-3-1, whether it ends up that way, it could be 11 kids chasing the ball into the corner, but look,
either way, we're going to enjoy it,
and it's all about, you know, creating a fun environment for the kids. We're certainly not going to be one of these coaches that's berating referees. We do enough of that on this show, and berating other players and other managers. It's going to be a good experience. So folks, that's been it. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure we'll bring you the result of that game next week, along with all the latest news, updates and debate from the League of Ireland. If you could give this show a review on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. Give us a subscription and follow us on your favourite platform such as SoundCloud or Spotify, whatever it may be. And we will speak to you again next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.